Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is one of our news and cues episode. This week, we actually have both the cues, questions, and the news. That's news. So I'm very excited to dive into it all with you, Ken.
Very excited indeed. And thank you all, Force Center listeners. It's all of you. Thank you, Force Center friends, for letting us get out, travel, pre-record some episodes, get some things out. Even me forgetting. Well, not forgetting. I tried to promote. But on the mountain, you don't have internet. And I couldn't get a link out. You guys have been so supportive. As always, we appreciate that. So before we dive into all that and Star Wars adventures, we are going to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we have our Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. And Joseph, we're still telling you about this other deal.
That's right. We are still telling you about Insight Editions. They are a publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books. They are offering 35% off across their website with a special Force Center code to get your discount. You can enter the coupon code FC35, or you can visit the website with this link, insighteditions.com/discount/FC35. And we are continuing to recommend the great Insight Editions book, Secrets of the Jedi. There are many books to check out, not just Star Wars, but also Game of Thrones, all sorts of different pop culture. But we love this Secrets of the Jedi. And we are getting very, very close to the companion book coming out, Secrets of the Sith. So join us in learning all those secrets with the code FC35.
Can't wait to learn all them secrets. So learn those secrets with us there. Before we get to news, we always catch up on Star Wars Adventures. And yeah, we've both been wonderfully busy. Like, I'm blessed to be busy both with work and travel. And I know you feel the same way, Joseph, even if there's sometimes exhausting moments. But then that's why you get away and your phone can't get to the internet. And all you have to do is just to stare out into the wilderness. So that's part of my Star Wars Adventures and life adventures this week. What about you, sir?
Yeah, I think we had some similar in spirit Star Wars in life adventures. Big thing for me why we pre-recorded last week is my wife and I took a trip to Sequoia in Kings Canyon National Parks. We actually stayed in the Sequoia part of the national park. This was a trip that my wife very kindly planned, and I like national park, big trees. That's all I knew. And it was a really nice, there's a lot of just kind of very Star Wars philosophy that I took into this vacation with me. And one of them was, I'm just going to be in the moment. I know we're going to see some big trees. I know we're staying in a motel, and that's it. And I'll figure out the rest when I get there and be in the moment. And one of the things that I didn't ask the right questions or have the knowledge is that we would be staying on a mountain at 7,000 feet elevation. So that was a nice, fun surprise. And that we had also known ahead of time that the wireless was real spotty. And that was so great, honestly, to just... be forced to take a break. You know, it worked kind of okay in our hotel room. And other than that, when we're out on the trails or looking at the big trees, it was just like, let it go. Turn off your targeting computer and your Twitter box. It was, that part of it was so great. And the whole thing was, you know, if people are not, anybody not familiar with this national park up in the mountains, a huge trees, the sequoias in particular, these 2,000-year-old giants, ton of rocks, places where the rocks and the trees have merged together so they look like they're one flowing organic thing, bunch of animals everywhere. I saw bats, the bear on the road, just a ton of just beauty in nature. I saw actual stars at night. I saw the actual Milky Way, and I looked up and was like, wow, the star field is as dense as it's portrayed in the Clone Wars animated series. That's very accurate. So it was all just really, really great, really relaxing for the soul, totally exhausting for the body. I also kind of thought about that from that perspective. I like that some of the books really make clear that, like, this idea that channeling the Force is exhausting to your crude matter, to your physical being. So I was saying, like, yeah, no, I'm being a good Jedi because hiking in these trees in this mountain at 7,000 feet is really restful for my soul and utterly exhausting for my body.
Yeah, it's like you have to be broken to be healed. Kind of philosophy like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other big kind of Star Wars thing of it all is the Sequoias. And again, I'm sure a ton of listeners who know this, and I'm just like, I just went to a national park and now I'm suddenly an expert. Here's my slideshow. The Sequoias are these, 1,000-year-old giants, this orangish, reddish, auburn bark, but their life cycle is totally dependent on fire. They need to be burned in order for their pine cones to open, and they can be scarred and wounded by fire, but they have these, like, air pockets in the bark that, you know, basically puts the fire out. There's, you know, tannins that resist burning. So the practical implication of that is that all these different Sequoias are like, they look like these untouchable giants that are going to be there forever. And then they all have their own unique fire scars because they get, like, totally burned and then the bark regrows around them. And it was just so, it was like, you could play with a metaphor from 800 different directions. It was just one of those moments where, like, oh yeah, just the reality of nature. That's where a lot of these metaphors, a lot of the storytelling come from. And it was such a, looking at those giant sequoias, it was very much a lot of the kind of Star Wars storytelling that you and I like, that we've talked about a lot, of like, those sequoias looked like Luke in The Last Jedi to me, of like, yeah, I've been burned, but that's part of the journey, and you keep growing and you keep figuring it out, you know?
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I have not specifically been to that area. I don't think ever. I've been around. I used to go to Yosemite all the time, kind of up in the same direction, same thing. But I have not seen that the sequoias up close, which I intend to correct, especially after what you're saying. That's wonderful. And truly, organic versus, mechanical, all those things we talk about, you love celebrating it. You get to experience that up, et cetera. The rock and tree combo sounds like some kind of fantasy character that helps you along. Like Neverending Story 9 or something.
Yes, I got some wisdom from the rock tree, and then the path opened. Yeah,
the Nature's Bendu was there.
Yeah. So it was. Yeah, it was great to reconnect with nature, and really just great to reconnect with that all these ideas that are baked into these stories that they really probably come from real experiences, real things. And I realized probably the only bad Star Wars adventure, because I was getting ready at the last minute. I was like, I can take some Star Wars stuff. So I took one of my Chewie action figures, and I realized I don't have an Ewok action figure to bring to the big woods, and I need to correct this problem in my life.
Yeah, we're going to have to – I could have sent you with a Tebow, and I would have been like, please don't take it out of the package. So, yeah, we're going to have to do that.
I'll keep Tebow in prison. Don't worry. I'll look into some good Ewok action figures. So that was my woods adventure and life Star Wars adventure. How about you?
It's kind of the same. I am taking another trip, but we've got some other kind of scheduling stuff going on here with the Force Center, because I have to go to the human forest that is Las Vegas. not have to. I'm choosing to go for some comedy, but also some relaxation. And I actually really love Las Vegas. I'm one that can relax in the middle of thousands of people, hopefully mostly vaccinated or masked. We'll see about that. Carefully going to do this trip. I can relax during that, but I do love nature. I don't love camping in it. I love getting back to the cabin or hotel or inn or cottage. But I love going up, and we took kind of an unexpected trip, Grace and I, to Lake Arrowhead, which is, it's so funny. It's listed about 80 miles out of downtown LA. It's another country. It's
right.
It took 3 hours to get there, all that kind of thing, Labor Day weekend. You go up the hills. But once you're there, we were there for exactly 24 hours. Got there at 4 on Saturday, left 4 on Sunday, and it felt like 2 or 3 days to just sit, relax, stare out onto the lake and watch people have fun from a distance. Saw a chipmunk, didn't get to see a bear in the road. Heard some coyotes, but a nice chipmunk living under the stairs when I took Baxter out for the old doggy potties. But just the ability to just relax, turn off your mind, like you said, and just kind of be in the wilderness, hear the sounds, go on even a little walking path. We didn't do a lot of hiking, but you could just feel the energy. You feel it there. And it's hard for a Star Wars fan to not think of Endor. You failed to make a reference. It's in your mind. You talk about it. I was trying to convince in vain to Grace, my partner, to let me bring my full-sized Wicket to have a photo shoot there.
There you go. That's the Star Wars photo shoot in the woods that is necessary.
She's absolutely not. She says, what's it going to look like? We're going to have an Ewok strapped into the backseat of a car as we're driving up. That's exactly what it would
be. It's big enough that it won't even fit in a car seat. So that's good.
Yeah, it could be, I could have taken it myself and used it as carpool if I wanted to be a rapscallion. Anyway, same thing. Same kind of thing. I don't have any. I wasn't out amongst the big trees, but some big enough trees, and got to feel the same thing. And it's nice. And I feel very fortunate to have the opportunities. I know you do as well. We're hardworking fools. We never stop, you and I. We're part of that ilk that's like, go, work. And it's nice when not only nature, but just technology is even like, nah, we're shutting off the internet. Even if it looks like you have it, you don't. You got to concentrate on other things.
Yes, it is just like nature, like reaching out into your hand and going, shh, no, you don't need to type. Let it go.
Promoting this podcast episode will not get you any more listens now as opposed to later. You're
gonna be okay. It's opposed to later. It'll be fine later. Well, sometime you and I and your Ewok should go to the woods and not be on the internet. That'd be fun.
I would love that. I would.
And then we'd end up recording episodes. We probably would.
Yeah, we probably would. Yeah, Force Center live in the forest.
Center now with Nature Sound.
Yeah, I saw, you know, it's just, I saw some great photos that you had taken it. Well, Sarah probably took of you, I would think, unless you set up a weird tripod.
All Sarah.
And they're great shots. And it's like, I can't help but look at that and think, oh, that's some great branding. Justin's got some great forest branding. It's a sickness.
We took a lot of photos. There are some times where I really did have to say, like, I'm going to take photos with my mind like they did in olden times, because, yeah, you want to capture everything and you can't, you know.
You can't. Speaking of capturing anything, you can't capture all the news except for this week. There's not a lot of news. So it's kind of a weird transition, but it's where we're at. Let's get into some news here. And some things, look, there's some little stories out there. We always say here at Force Center, if it gets too spoilery, or it's about a show, an upcoming show, and it's concept art or a set photo, something more often than not, we just kind of don't want to discuss it. Not for any big stance on our part, but just we want to kind of be surprised to take a lot of things in as they come out officially through official channels or just in the show themselves. So that news, some little tidbits are out there if you want to look. We understand, but we're not going to be covering it here today. So we've got a new gameplay trailer for Galaxy's Edge Last Call. This is that ILM X-Lab game that's part three. This is the last version of it. Doc Ondor, you got Bobby Moynihan as the bartender sending you out on missions. We've talked a lot about this. We've gotten ready for this game, but now we got some gameplay. So any highlights you took from that, Joseph?
It was really fun to watch the trailers, because that's how I am going to interact for this right now, because I do not have the technology to play this game. But the trailer was really, really fun, and there were some just great lines in it. The great exciting gameplay that you're like, oh, wow, yeah, okay, I get to the fantasy of kind of being a bounty hunter and going down a darkened hallway trying to take out people trying to take out me. Oh, you get to go to a little lightsaber dojo type space, a training space that all looks like so fun. But there were a couple of fun lines. The bartender there saying, "You're never too old to be a student." That was nice to hear.
Yeah,
I was like, "Thanks for the validation." And then in that little Jedi training section, a voice of clearly one of the teachers said, "Remember, a Jedi defends." And then the character responds, "I remember." And it just really cracked me up, because it was so like, I don't know if the way you said, "I remember," I don't know if you really heard, if that really absorbed deep, or you're just like, yeah, defense. Give me the lightsaber.
That's kind of me. Would you want to turn the training off? Get on the horse.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
That's awesome. Yeah. Same for me. I don't own this system. One day, sure. Great. I'd love to. One of the highlights for me is when they're like, oh, and there's a lot of different surprises around here. And it's like one of the little BB-8 type of toys you can get at Galaxy's Edge and build at the robot center there, the droid center. And I just, I'd love to experience that there someday in my home. But action moments, there was shooting the blasters, when you got them in your hand and that 3D look, and that's kind of fun and crazy and kind of prompted one of our follow-up questions here we're going to touch on. But I also love that in terms of like just simple Star Wars design, this character, this Lieutenant Gage character voiced by Damon Mills, we got the First Order Stormtrooper thing, but he's got the two like red pauldrons, and then his helmet's kind of framed with red over the white and black of the normal Stormtrooper helmets. And I just, in terms of Stormtrooper designs, simple, I kind of liked it. And I wonder if we'll see that anywhere else at any point in Star Wars storytelling.
Yeah, no, I love the ongoing need to make troopers, look slightly different, right? So that they're still fitting in with the sort of monotony of the First Order / Empire. But like, is that a normal thing to have two pauldrons, or is just like Cage is just like, I gotta be seen. I'm going double pauldron.
I think it is. Like, right. I kind of like, it's like someone didn't tell, like no one told him, like, this is too much, dude. This is too much. He's like, yeah, no, let me just, it's like pro wrestling, but let me put more spikes on and a cape. Why? Cause you just need a spike cape.
Yeah.
Come on, what are you going to do? I like that. Yeah, I like seeing the IG-88, of course, voiced by Rhys Darby from Fly the Conchords and many other great things. We're werewolves, not swearwolves. Love seeing that. And any thoughts on IG-88 being involved? We talked a little bit about it, but it kind of reminded me again that that character's in this game.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like that he's still kicking in this era, right?
Yeah. Yeah, which is weird because I'm a little behind again on the Bounty Hunter comic and the War of the Bounty Hunters. I'm like, are people dropping in that one? I don't know. You know.
Yeah, no, IG-8 has such a great history in our imaginations, but particularly a legacy in video games. So I hope he's just scary as hell the way he was way back in the day in the Shadows of the Empire N64 game.
That's a great point there. So here's the follow-ups. In watching this and watching that little scene where you're holding two blasters and it looks like you're in the fight, I kind of had that like, oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, I've seen that 50 times this week, right, in games and TV shows, whatever. We're blessed by this wonderful era of technology that's only getting better and better and better. I had this thought, Joseph, what would you have thought if you saw this trailer as a kid? Go back to 85 and just say, hey, I'm from the future, Joseph. This is what you got.
Yeah, no, there's a part of me that I would have thought that it was impossibly advanced. And then there's a part of me that just feels like, I don't know, it was sort of like the promise of what was coming, right? Like, yeah. 80s was such a time of tech excitement, not a little bit of a future dystopia storytelling, but the dystopia was always with the promise that it's partially because the tech has gotten better.
Yeah.
So I think there's a part of me that would just be like, oh, finally, they hurried up and did it. They cracked the code. You can plug your brain into a computer and then everything looks like real life, like, which I know is not the exact tech, but like for me as a kid thinking like, okay, you put on this helmet and then it looks like they're your hands and you have two blasters and it looks pretty realistic. I would have just been like, the future that has been promised to me has gotten here so much quicker than I thought it would.
I actually really love that angle. I really love what you're saying there. I dreamed up a lot of kind of games, including, you know, everyone hears him make jokes about playing MLB The Show, which I do the franchise mode, which is this highly detailed running of a baseball franchise. And the Madden games have had it. A lot of sports games have had that. I used to sit down with Hardball, which is the most simplistic Commodore 64 classic baseball. And I used to keep all the stats. I used to create player names and trade them and be like, why can't I have this on a video game? Why do I have to do all the legwork? So when it started showing up, it was like, yeah. This is what I've always wanted. So yeah, some of the Star Wars stuff, it would make sense, especially from a Star Wars fan perspective growing up in that promise of the 80s, promise of moving beyond Pac-Man. Because of the Return of the Jedi arcade game, which was hard for me to find. The classic New Hope one you could find real easily, and you still can at classic game spots. The Return of the Jedi one was a little harder for me to find as a kid, and I remember seeing it because it had the scroller. It was a side scroller, kind of at an angle, but it was a little more 3D, a little more robust. Looked great, right? No longer wires. And like, yeah, it was like, yeah, finally, this is what we need.
Yeah, no, I remember being not having a lot of experiences with that one because our arcade trips were very limited. You know, we were not rolling in quarters. So I wasn't the kind of kid who got to like spend enough money to get good, right?
Yep.
And I kind of didn't care for some games. But then Return of the Jedi, I think I really remembered having the fantasy of like, I want to imagine that I would be great. If I had a speeder bike and I was in the forest, I could totally do that.
Mm.
And I remember kind of not liking the video game immediately robbing me of that assumption.
It was hard. Yeah, no, it was hard. I know. Yeah. Yeah. That's all that time spent practicing on that palm tree in my backyard, piloting a speeder bike, did nothing for that game.
Yeah. And I think for a long, long time, the thing that I really would fantasize about is a thing that we now have had in many different video games of that first person perspective of a lightsaber. Right. But you have to practice and you have to get good at it. And that for me is always the balance of video games of, you want them to be challenging, but you have to be able to get to a point where you're good enough that you can kind of fulfill the fantasy or it's just frustrating, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're not the cool Jedi we all thought we were.
Exactly.
Final question here. Did you ever dream up a Star Wars game as a kid? Like specific, did you ever do that? Like it's not a joke. No one thinks I'm joking, but like I used to like pound my school desk asking why can't I have a baseball management simulating game? Which is also, I wasn't super popular, I guess. But did you have any specific Star Wars ones that you remember?
No, I think I just wanted there to be more Star Wars video games. Like the main one I remembered is my grandmother for Christmas one year got my brother and I these like little small arcade, plug them into the wall, and they just played one game. I think my brother got Pac-Man and I got Donkey Kong. And, you know, it was just like a high score thing. You couldn't beat it, right? And the main thing I fantasized about is that you could play that as a Star Wars character.
Nice.
Because I would have times where I actually had a couple play sessions where, like, I wanted to play with my action figures, but I also wanted to play that video game, but I didn't want to leave the fantasy. So I imagined that the Emperor had turned Luke into Mario. And I was pretending it was actually Luke in disguise as Mario in the Donkey Kong video game.
I love that. That's awesome. We need that visual, some fan art of that one.
Yeah, so now I need that to be a reality. How about you? Did you have specific, were you daydreaming that you were a video game where you were Jabba the Hutt and you were just managing bounties?
I think a little bit. It's so weird because I've certainly had experiences as like a manager, a boss man kind of character in my own life, but I kind of hated it, right? So I don't know why I get this weird obsession with managing things. I know I've mentioned probably long ago, but there was a NASA game that I played on my Commodore 64 where you literally managed missions and had to hire the right researchers and scientists and launch shuttles and take your little EVA pods out. And the astronauts could die if you left them up there too long. And it was like it would just list dead next to their name on your roster of players. It was pretty traumatic for a 10-year-old to try to manage a NASA space program. So I think naturally I would carry that over to how could you do that with Star Wars. A little bit later with the explosion of like the Command and Conquer, Age of Empire type of games, I wanted Star Wars ones. And they eventually kind of got those, though I never really actually played those. I wasn't playing a lot of Star Wars games at the time. So yeah, I think in the 80s on my Commodore 64, as I'm launching space shuttles into the, you know, trying to get up there to the moon or to the space station I was building. I would love to do this with maybe the Death Star, which is, I guess I would have to try to destroy it from within now, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is really amazing to just see the different kinds of experiences that Star Wars gamers can have. And I just wanted any Star Wars experience. You know, people want to Google what the original, not the Super Star Wars, but just Star Wars for the original Nintendo, what that looked like, the NES, those graphics, even at the time, are like, this is kind of fighting me in feeling like I'm cool, but I don't care. It's Star Wars.
Right. Star Wars. It's Star Wars. Well, there you go. Those are our thoughts after seeing Galaxy's Edge Last Call, which looks great. We're not downplaying the coolness of that game at all. In fact, it just got me thinking of this cool VR game, which you go around Batuu. I'm almost overlooking it because we are blessed with just so many wonderful games anywhere you turn, whether it's a cowboy game, baseball game, or Battlefront 2 or Squadrons, which we still enjoy. So. If you play that game, let us know. Let us know what your thoughts are there. We have got an excerpt from Star Wars Life Day Treasury. This is a holiday story. It's not that comic that's coming out. This is the other book on its way, September 7th. And this released a little story here. Two friends on the opposite sides of the war. Thoughts on this story, Joseph?
Yeah, no, I really, really like this excerpt. In some ways, it was exactly the kind of story that I was expecting and hoping for, of something that very much feels utterly immersed in Star Wars, but is taking these just general feelings of the wintertime holiday and those feelings of tradition and renewal during the dark time of the year and really bringing them to light. I thought this story was fascinating because it has this just really directly evoking, you know, the true story of the Christmas truce of 1914 in World War One that there's been lots of storytelling about, popped up in a lot of places, popped up, you know, relatively recently in the last couple of years in a great Doctor Who story. So it was really fun to see that idea brought to Star Wars of, you know, what if two friends, in this instance, a rebel and a stormtrooper from the past could find a way to reconnect through the magic of holidays, which sounds insincere, but I think really works well.
Yeah, it does. And it really does. And yeah, drawn from real life works really well when you, especially when you put the backdrop of the Galactic Civil War. And I got to be honest, I was doing the scroll on StarWars.com and I saw the headline. I just kind of did the, let me read real quick here. And I overlooked that it was a stormtrooper and a rebel soldier. I just don't, I assume maybe it was First Order or something later, which wouldn't make it any less impactful. But there was something interesting to me about going right to the heart of what I was obsessed with growing up, which was the battle of the rebellion versus the Empire. And doing this thing that we talk a lot about in modern Star Wars of, you know, people on both sides, not necessarily heroes on both sides, but people and beings on both sides of this conflict, and playing with a lot of that, and finding just something special, something sweet, really holiday overtones, like you said. It really worked in that regard. And I just, like, I don't know, there's something to me that's interesting now looking back, just when I think, I don't know, is there any more we could dig into in the Galactics of War? Just having this nice little story of two friends connected to Alderaan. That was pretty powerful.
I think that's what really drew me in of I think, so far from what we can see for the story, it is a solid, beautiful story of, you know, peace winning out even for just a moment in the middle of a dark conflict. That's great. But for the Star Wars-ness of it, I loved, for the Galactic Civil War, I'm still interested in hearing stories of ongoing combat, of war, right? Because we know the big story, the big battles. I know there's some stories that we still haven't got to because we're trying to read everything. That first, Battlefront book, I know, is a little bit more about, you know, warriors in the trenches. But I'm still really happy that this story starts out with is like, well, we've been dug in, the Rebel and the Empire's, on this one planet. And I just am still kind of hungry for those kind of stories. And then I just really loved that it was really digging into they're from Alderaan, but not just, it's using the darkness of that, right? The horror of that, the fact that it was destroyed. But I love stuff that doesn't just only sit on the horror of the loss, the destruction of Alderaan, but digs into the culture or even like the environment. I love that these people are thinking about, like, yeah, it's snow. We're really used to that because that's the actual...
Right.
Part of the environment of Alderaan, you know, and getting into this specific Alderaan tradition of a holiday of Winter's Heart. I love getting into the reality and the culture of Alderaan.
Yeah. And taking it with you, the great lines here of these two characters, Max and Rel, looking back on Winter's Heart and the games and everything they used to experience as kids, and how out here on the edge of nowhere, this is how we mark Winter's Heart and remember. Beautiful, sweet. Kind of reflection, bittersweet, I guess I should say there. So this is, of course, written George Mann and Kevin Scott, writing a lot of these stories. And, you know, I haven't, you know, really looked into these books, the ones that have come out before. And this one kind of made me go, I should pay more attention to these nice, sweet Star Wars storytelling here.
Yeah, no, this is just our old enemy time. I actually have a copy of the... I think it's a compilation of both the first book that George Mann did of the fantasies and then the dark fantasies. So it's sitting in here in my pile, and I look at it and I dream. So I really want to check those out. I think this one, because it's tied to Life Day, I think is maybe even more of a priority for me. So I'm definitely going to get a copy of this book, get us copies of this book, Ken. But this might be controversial. I'm going to lay this out for you and see what you think. Mm-hmm. I know it's coming out very soon, but I'm not reading it until Halloween is over. Because for me, I like to give my holiday time some space. I'm a big Halloween fan. For me, the festive winter times happen after Halloween.
I agree with that. We will, maybe we'll dive in on our Life Day episode.
We'll do that. Crack this open on November 1st.
Fair enough. The book does come out today, September 7th. If you're listening on day of release, you can check it on out. Of course, Star Wars, Life Day Treasury Holiday Stories from a Galaxy Far, Far Away is the name of that. So that is the quick look at Star Wars news. Before we take a quick break and get on to the questions, we're going to have a Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we have today?
We are recommending Out of the Shadows by Justina Ireland. It is the next book in the High Republic series, and we are going to be reading it and discussing it very soon. So if you want to get caught up and you prefer to listen to audiobooks, you can check it out.
Check it out indeed, and do so on us by downloading your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, quick break on the other side. Your questions here on ForceCenter.
Thank you. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back to 4Center. We've taken a look at the news. That means it's time contractually for us to get to the cues. Joseph, what do we have?
Here are contractual questions. Who knows what will happen to us if we don't answer, so we better get to it. We have two questions, as always, from Twitter and two questions from our patrons on Patreon. We start with Twitter. We're going to Michael Gibbons. Michael says, "Hi, everyone. Do you think non-human species carry resentment towards humans? Humanity seems to be the cause of so many of the galaxy's problems. Palpatine, Mandalorians, Dooku, a clone army, the whole Skywalker clan. I can imagine humans not being welcome in some certain cantinas. This is really great because we have discussed a little bit of the ongoing Star Wars story, which has really been supplemented in recent novels, that there is a perspective of from the Empire of being kind of speciesist, right? Of preferring humans, and Thrawn is really only around because Palpatine wants a specific thing for him, and Thrawn has proved himself. But for the most part, it's humans, right? And there's even, I was trying to remember this passage, so I was able to track it down on old Wikipedia. It is from Rebel Rising, and Jyn actually has a conversation with a character named Berta, who is a rebel engineer, who is the species Krish, about how humans have spread everywhere in the galaxy. I want to read this dialogue real quick. Sure. Jyn says, "Some people consider this a skill. Humans adapt. Got mountains? Build ridge crawlers. Too much water? Build scub subs. An ice planet? Use radiated egrets. People adapt." Berta replies, "Yes, but should they? Either humans adapt or they force the planet to adapt to them. This is not normal." It was great that there's perspective of the fact that, yeah, there are humans everywhere in the galaxy. I believe Wikipedia said they are the plurality, not the majority, but the plurality. And this idea that they've spread out everywhere, and there are some people like this character Berta who's like, maybe you shouldn't be so damn spread out. Maybe everything doesn't need to be about you humans. So I think Michael's really onto something to look at it from this perspective. If there are any species who are like, hey, wait, humans are really causing a lot of problems and we got some resentment. What are your thoughts there?
Look, this is Star Wars Episode 10, the species wars. It's not going to be controversial at all. I love this because I think we also see growing tension between droids and all the other
species
and out there that's popped up a lot. And there's something about that. I really think you can mine this even more. And, you know, you look back, the Nile is a collection of many types of folks, marauding around the galaxy. So you could, I guess, look at it from that perspective. But in terms of some of the things that Michael's listed here, I would love to see some of those conversations. I would love to see, you know, is there, I guess, oh God, I'm not as wise as you. I didn't pull this out ahead of time. Isn't there some spot in modern Star Wars storytelling where they kind of bring up that it was the humans stepping up, but just like New Hope or the Battle of Yavin, clearly mostly human. If you watch that movie, probably because of budget reasons, but trying to in story answer it like, hey, they did that, but was it out of guilt? You know, I know I'm really paraphrasing where I'm trying to remember that came from.
Yeah. I don't remember that exact. There have been so many great, just as you're reading the stories there and you get to go into characters' heads, there are characters who are kind of wrestling with these kind of things. Yeah. And I do remember something about that, kind of trying to recontextualize the fact that the rebellion is made up of many different groups. But in A New Hope, we do see mostly humans flying.
Yeah.
All humans flying.
Yeah. And I'm being very clumsy in trying to recall and explain that. I think, Michael, you're right. I would love to. I think there would be some resentment in some corners. And I think there would be even an era of, a certain, non-human species say feeling they're better, you know, that adaptation. I have six eyes. You know, what are you going to do? And some kind of tension there. And then you could explore it in many different ways. Some of it may be more direct comparisons to things in our world. Other things just that you could add into, have fun with it almost and explain the differences. So I imagine I'd love to see those cantinas.
Yeah. I mean, it would be great. I love that what you're talking about is exploring it in lots of different ways. Michael's got this great direct question about resentment, but, you know, we get that tidbit in Phantom Menace that Anakin is, you know, one of the only humans who can pod race because he's force sensitive. So you get the thought that, well, maybe other force sensitive ones do, but like, are there other activities? Because like, no offense humans, but this is an activity for people with three eyes or more, you know, that would be really interesting to see like humans kind of having to take a back seat because like we physically can't do this.
Yeah.
Directly to Michael's question, I think there's some great storytelling possibility with the Twi'leks. Like that some Twi'leks would really say like, look, it's not just that our planet has been caught up in all these wars. These wars that you track them down and they have been, you know, started, facilitated by human leadership. And that would be a really interesting story if there was sort of like extremist Twi'leks, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it could work. And that, you know, are the human species, you know, are, do they take that, you know, three arms or more, you know, edict wrong? And does that drive some to acts of violence or power and control that are not healthy? You know, there's a lot of ways to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then for the cantina question, I'm sure there might you could have some storytelling where people are just like, no, this is a Twi'lek bar and we don't like humans for these reasons. Yeah. But I think it would be really cool to have like Keldor, which is what Plo Koon is, like a Keldor cantina, you know, and have a story where like the humans need to go to the Keldor cantina and the Keldors are like, fine, but we have our atmosphere in our cantina. You put on a mask if you want to come in.
Yeah, no, right. I mean, that's how we look at Star Wars, right? What's that mask? Oh, they can't breathe in our atmosphere. That's I would love to see that reversed. Even just, I don't want to downplay this just a comedy beat, but even in that, I'd take it. Just starting a bigger conversation with, you know, a Plo Koon going, "Ho, oh, you can't, Kenobi having trouble breathing."
yeah, but it would just, even if it wasn't like a moment of conflict, if it was just a, you know, a little bit more of, because totally understandably, there are some jokes, especially in the original trilogy, that are a little bit like humans are normal and the aliens are weird, which is fine because we were looking at that at the time in a different light, I think.
Yeah.
But as we, you know, evolve and Star Wars can mean more things and reflect more things, it'd be a cool scene of just like, now we got to mask up for the Keldor bar.
Yeah. Daniel Jose Older touched on you know, the treatment of the Gungans and the stereotypes of the Gungans face in the last shot. Like stuff like that is there, does exist, but you could explore it even more. Yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Great question. Moving on to our next question from Mike Fink. Mike says, Master Scrimshaw and Nabsock. That's very nice. With the spinoffs coming to Disney+, there hasn't been talk about Finn. After a sequel trilogy rewatch, he's my fave sequel character. Can you contemplate and Finvestigate what his spinoff would be like? So much to explore, in my opinion. Finn, I like that. Now, I have to also add that when Mike tweeted this question, he immediately replied because there are rumors about a Finn, a Disney Plus show. We're not really covering it in news because it's total rumorville right now. But Mike acknowledged that there are indeed rumors of it and felt that he is perhaps in touch with the Force, which I agree with. So rumors, true or not, let's forget that and just think about what a Finn Disney Plus show might be like. What would we want, Ken?
I'm stumbling because I actually got to tell you, I did see that rumor and it's based on I didn't click on the story past the title there, but that J.D. Dillard project, they're saying that maybe that would be the one. Again, unfounded to the full definition of unfounded. But when I saw that, Joseph, I got excited. I'm like, wow, that could kind of work. But then I was like, okay, what does that mean? So Mike, you're asking what I've been asking myself here for a couple weeks. There's something, Joseph, if it's post-9, everyone's going to focus on the potential Jedi side or Force side of Finn, and I would want that there. I would quite frankly need that there. But I don't, and we see the Lego holiday special, we saw a little bit of Rey and Finn and the training. Love that, but I'd love to maybe move past that and not to just completely repeat the cycle of storytelling, but following the fall of the Final Order and/slash the First Order, I imagine you're going to have not necessarily pockets of stormtroopers resisting, say, like we're dealing with in Mandalorian, but you might have a lot of people similar to at the end of Rise of Skywalker with Janna and Lando, of just a lot of First Order people not knowing who they are, not knowing where they came from, and trying to deal with that, and trying to. Finn's got this really clear idea of, hey, it was a feeling that I acted on. And we all kind of do that, and I think that's what's there with Janna, and that's why I love the Orbach scene and the charging and BB-8 and all that great stuff. I think it's a powerful moment. So I would want it to there. Not that I need it to be Finn's traveling salvation show where he's going around and trying to make everyone feel good about the new place in the galaxy, but that's kind of the theme I'd want, taking all of his experiences and moving forward with it.
That's kind of where I go too. Very similar places of, you know, what is his challenge? What is he trying to accomplish? How will that cause him to grow even more from where we left him off in the sequel trilogy? And I think he has clearly kind of always been, it's a part of his character to me, that he is somebody who wants to help. He wants to bring people together, right? Mm-hmm. And his abilities in the forest seem to be very intuitive. So it would make a lot of sense to me if he was like, I want to find pockets of First Order, you know, survivors, holdouts, whatever they are, and offer them this choice of like, we're not going to let you start up the First Order, but let me help you out. You know, do you want to reflect on what you got sucked up into? And maybe it wasn't really your fault. You got taken as a kid. You didn't know what you were joining. You got all of this, mm-hmm. you know, propaganda, and lies told you, and this is your opportunity to make a different choice. You know,
yeah.
That would be really, really interesting to me of like, can I help you? Can I bring you into this new society we're building? Or is it going to be an unfortunate conflict? That would be really fascinating to me. The other thing that you were talking about, which I really like, is I totally understand people who wanted to see if Finn was going to be Force sensitive. Let's get that lightsaber blazing in his hand on the screen in Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. Totally understand where those feelings come from. Excuse me.
Yeah.
But I also like that Finn seems to have a kind of a different and unique connection to the Force, and one that he's really comfortable with and makes sense for him. So I would be fascinated with the story where, like, we know that Rey gave him some of the basics, right? You know, maybe he even does have a saber, but however you want to explore it, that he's on his own journey with the Force to discover what it means to him and how he uses it, you know?
Yeah.
That's really interesting to me.
If this were to happen, I would want to see Jedi Finn and the lightsaber and a robe or something like typical, right? Just to have that feel. Cause I do understand where people feel, you know, fell short for them and some of the stuff in episode 9. I get that, but I really am reacting to what you're saying, Joseph, of how could he take that, the typical side, lightsabers, Force, moving objects, moving rocks, and then combine it with what we kind of already got with him, which I love is this Force, the Force is everywhere type of thing. And
yeah.
I'm sending Finn on a missionary mission, to be clear and be careful. You know, I'm not saying like he's going to go out and convert the world, but if as he's talking to these people and how you and I sometimes react to, hey, the light and dark is sometimes in all your choices, and it's down to a micro level. And it's not always about the red sabers and whatnot. If Finn could be like, this was my journey, exactly what you're saying here. This is what I felt. And I made these choices. I didn't want to pull the trigger on that villager. That was my choice. But it came from here, and I, you know, blah, 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 and destiny rolls out bit by bit, not in a giant path. I could be really moved by that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I just really, again, with all understanding to people's frustration, I really like just how at peace he seems with the idea of my connection to the Force is about intuition, about just really listening to my instincts, right? And having that even enhanced by being connected to a larger thing. So to me, there's just an idea of fun, like literally in action scenes and in powers that he develops, like that are totally intuition forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of like he's in a battle, like I'm gonna push that rock, I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, but it ends up where it needs to be, kind of thing. Like really exploring that perspective would be fascinating to me.
There's something there.
Yeah. Last big thing, you know, one of my favorite beats in Rise of Skywalker is that great moment where Lando wants to help Janna find out where she's been, you know, where she comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Not where she's been, where she comes from. And it's about Janna, it's about Lando, but it is about that whole idea of everyone from the First Order who was taken when they were young, right? That's a great moment, but I also feel like if Finn had his own show, that for me is like one of the obvious things to explore.
Yeah.
Of not necessarily him going, I'm going to go discover where I'm from, but if he's out doing something proactive, because that kind of feels where he left off of, he wants to keep moving and help people, but in the journey, he discovers where he's truly from, and that gives him some sort of conflict. That would be great too.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess you still need conflict in storytelling, right? You can't just have a 7-part series of Finn sits down and teaches everyone about how to pray in the Force.
I'm sure people would be upset. I would watch at least 3 hours of just Finn meditates myself personally, but I understand. Great question, Mike Fink. Very, very excited to simply wait and let the Force and Lucasfilm reveal the truth of if there's going to be a Finn show. But for now, we're going to move on to our questions from our patrons on Patreon. We got one from Big Lou. Big Lou says, "Hey, fellas, Big Lou here. And I got a question having to do with Star Wars Visions, specifically the fact that it's the first non-English language Star Wars production. The trailer looks amazing, and I can't wait to see it. I am planning on watching the English language version of this show because for me, I find closed caption subtitles very distracting and they really take me out of a show movie and I end up just reading the text on the screen and I miss out on the stunning visuals. I have no doubt at some point after several watches, I will watch it in its original Japanese. Was curious what you guys' thoughts were on this, in which you thought was a bigger trade-off, original language with subtitles, but potential to miss visuals, or English language dialogue, but miss out on the inflections and tone of performance from a native speaker in the language the script was written in." This is a great question. It's got me even more excited about watching Visions multiple different ways. So where do you go with this, Ken?
First of all, Big Lou, what's up, my friend? He's a great cat there. I hadn't really stopped to think about this. I just, not for any reason related to Visions, but just life's moving really fast. And I was like, all right, Visions is going to come out and I'll sit down and watch it. I'm going to aim for both. And my first viewing would probably be the English language version, only just to make sure I've got my footing on what I'm watching. But I think I owe it to this amazing project to watch both. You know, does that make sense? Like to take
absolutely.
It in. I subtitles, you know, some bother some, you know, I don't always gravitate to them, but I mean, Grace watches every show that's a Spanish heist shows or French true crime drama. So she almost watches no English language shows. So it's more than possible, based on individual tastes, but yeah, I hadn't stopped to think of that, which maybe I don't know, I'm slightly embarrassed. I hadn't stopped to think about that until Big Lou asked me. So I'm going to make a point to watch both.
Yeah, I'm really glad that Big Lou brought this up because it is going to make me schedule even more time for watching Visions. That trailer looks amazing. I'm very excited to watch it. And I think this is probably a familiar question for people of a different generation or different fandoms. This is an anime question, right? Of the dubs or subs. And I'm not a huge anime person, but generally I have watched the English language dubs because I just do want to start from that point of kind of processing the story in the way that I primarily know. But then I have watched some where either they're not available or whatever, and it's really truly great to hear like the rhythm of it, the art of it. What does it truly sound like in the culture that it is from? Like Lou is saying. So for Visions, I think I really do want to watch both because I think I'll get something from both of them.
Right.
And then it's also fun to compare too, especially it sounds like in the English language dubs, there's a lot of performers that we're going to be familiar with. Right.
Right.
And they're probably going to be a lot of like rhythms and tones of this is what a Darksider sounds like, or what this is what a, you know, an enthusiastic young person sounds like in Star Wars. So to be able to just kind of have the fun of comparing how these, knowing what the energy and attitude of a character performance is, and then just, experiencing how it's expressed in different languages is really, really cool. And I think this is what you were saying. I think the fact that Visions is a journey in this completing the circle, right? That Star Wars was so inspired by this culture. So now this culture is creating their own Star Wars stories. That for me, it feels even more like, okay, then I really want to experience it as this culture created it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think then the other thing for me that's fascinating about this is I used to really feel like Lou and get a little distracted by closed caption subtitles and felt like, you know, I was staring at them and missing visuals. But I've been watching more things with captions for a couple of reasons. One, for just like Disney Plus available on my computer for studying for trivia to just see the words or wanting to make sure I don't miss a you know, thing happening in the background, or closed caption is great for when you want to take a screen capture for advertising one of our shows, our podcast show. So I've been watching with captions for lots of reasons, including the ongoing thing where it feels like a lot of shows and movies are not mixed for home viewing, where the dialogue is quiet and the music will suddenly give you a heart attack, right?
Yeah.
So like there's some things I watch late at night after my wife has gone to bed, and just like I just got to keep the volume real low and I got to go with captions. So with all that caption time for me, I've gotten a little bit more used to it, and I've become a little bit more fascinated that I process the dialogue and almost remember it more when I can read it, when I can see it, when I have this kind of different relationship with it.
Man, if I had done that, I might have answered some quote questions right and still be competing in a trivia contest game show. Yeah, no, but I'm with you too. I think sometimes, maybe just speaking for myself, definitely not you, but it's like, if I want to admit that, I don't know, subtitles kind of distract me, I feel like I'm admitting I'm dumb or something or not cultured. I don't like them subtitles. And that's not true. And that's not the case. There's a lot of different reasons why you might not like them or might not gravitate to them. And I think Lou's showing some good examples, which is why I think, hey, for this project, this one, I think how you want to take it in, I think you're still showing respect to a great Star Wars project and a wonderful group of people and a culture paying respects to this thing, this circle of Star Wars influence. I think either way is going to be fine. But yeah, I'm definitely going to make sure, like you said, Joseph, schedule time for both.
Yeah, schedule time for both. And the good thing about Disney Plus is I think the closed captions, the subtitles experience changes massively based on how well they're placed and what size the font is and how obtrusive it is. And I feel like Disney Plus is great. Like when I watch things, just I have Spectrum cable, and when I have to just turn on my Spectrum, it's so big and so goony. Yeah. It's over people's foreheads sometimes. It's garbage compared to Disney Plus. So at least we have that going for us.
Hey, there you go.
All right, we're going to move on to our final question from our patron on Patreon, Chris Martinez. Chris says, "Hello, Force Center. I have just recently begun my first year of teaching. The kids are wonderful and amazing, and I'm having a great time. However, I often get frustrated and upset when the class gets too loud or when I feel like I've lost control of the class. What lessons or quotes from Star Wars should I remember the next time a bunch of sixth graders are acting up? Thanks for everything, and may the Force be with you." This is an amazing challenge, Ken. What do you got for Chris?
I mean, if you don't at one point say Liam the Shades, what are you even doing here? What are you even doing here?
You don't even need Shades or a kid named Liam. Just say Liam the Shades,
or just Staddy. Now, I think we keep bringing this one up a lot because it's Qui-Gon going to his knees to just kind of meditate, and you and I have brought this up a lot. It's one of our favorite moments. It and you know, we make even jokes about he's doing that to go to his death, all that kind of stuff. Put that all aside, Chris. There's something so powerful. Just in that chaos, silence is louder than all of it, and centering yourself and making the class just kind of refocus on its own. Letting the Force do its magic as you just kind of center and find the control right there in the silence.
I think that's so great because that moment is just about Qui-Gon saying, what do I need? You know, what is best in this moment is like, I know that I need to take these actions. I need to, you know, be swinging, moving fast, engaged in conflict, but I don't need that conflict to be in my soul, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, which is so great, so great. So a couple quotes, a couple ideas that came to me is I think an under-discussed quote is Padme's great advice to be angry is to be human. This is from, you know, Attack the Clones. It's understandable that people might get distracted from that quote because there's kind of a lot going on there with Anakin in that moment.
Yeah.
But I like that quote because I think it is one of those moments where I think Padme is often set up as having a little bit more healthy wisdom than the Jedi do at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Anakin hears from other people just like, Jedi don't get angry. And that's what he's hung up on of like, but I'm a Jedi, I shouldn't get angry. And I think what Padme is saying to him I find it very helpful is that the goal isn't to just not be angry, right? Because we're going to get angry. The goal is to accept it and then don't let it control you, right?
Yeah.
And to just acknowledge I'm angry, but now how do I choose to, do I lash out with that anger or do I choose to find a way through it?
Choices, big choices. And you know, this is also to not understand subtitles is natural. You must choose to work beyond that.
Yeah.
But you're so right. You're so right. And I think Chris, you know, we all grow up looking as teachers. They're one of the listed ones you're supposed to trust, right? That's what you're told. Find a teacher, tell them. And that's not always the case. And teachers are human. So I think Joseph's speaking some Padme truth here.
Yeah. To be angry is to be human, especially if sixth graders are being real difficult. I got a couple more, Ken.
Yeah.
I liked I like Obi-Wan's line to Yoda in Empire Strikes Back of, was I any different when you taught me? I think that one would help me. I have done some teaching, nowhere near what Chris is talking about of being a full-time teacher. But I think for me, the times that I have been in teaching situations, it's helped me to go, okay, I behaved like this then too. Right. And just be like, come on, this is the natural cycle of youth and age, you know, up to a point.
You're making me recall something. I would every once in a while teach improv way back in the day, like 15, 20 years ago. And I would go around to like junior highs, my old junior highs. I remember I lost is Valley College in LA teaching like a high school improv class, but like ninth graders. Oof. And I remember just at one point standing in front of the class and just laughing and being like, yeah, all right, you got none of you want this. Okay, I understand. And just having to release the not control of the class, but just release the we are not here to learn. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Final one for me is I always like Yoda's line when Luke is asking how he's going to know the dark side from the light, which I feel like as an analogy, you can just be like, how am I going to know when I'm making a choice from a place of wisdom or I'm making a choice from a place of anger? And Yoda says, you will know when you are calm, at peace, passive. Yeah. And I don't ever take passive to mean like, none of this is my problem. I'm just going to zone out.
Yeah.
You kids do whatever you want. But in your own soul, right? Saying, I recognize this isn't about me in this moment.
Exactly. That's,
you know, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Final bit of advice, Ken, is one that I think you have brought up in a specific context, but I want to bring it up in a slightly different way. I feel like humor helps too, right? Always when you're stressed. So I think if I was trying to think of a Star Wars thing when I was getting really upset in a situation like this, I might just picture myself as Luke on the island having just walked away from everything.
Can teachers drink in classrooms? I don't know if that's allowed anymore. I would do that.
Green milk, yeah. Green milk. Sure. Yeah, just chug some green milk at them and just think, I'm going to go to an island. This is all going to be behind me.
Need a getaway? Grab your green milk.
Exactly. So unless you have any other thoughts, Ken, those are our questions.
No, Chris, hang in there. You're doing the forces work.
Exactly.
No, that's good. That's a look at our Star Wars questions. Big ones today. Chris, Big Lou. Ah, man. Love them. Mike and Michael. Good stuff, Joseph.
Yeah, absolutely. All great stuff.
So we are about to sign out here on Force Center 355 of the Big Show, the main show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet. There's a lot of places you can find us, including on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Force Center if you want to join that conversation. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on a lot of different spots, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Spotify. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Just want to acknowledge I'm in charge of getting the exclusive episode 1000 posters out. An unforeseen family issue kind of delayed me even getting the envelopes to mail them out. So do not worry. We have that offer still standing. You join Force Center and support or up your support to the top two tiers. All you need to do is one time and you get all those posters. Don't worry. All in place. My promise to y'all. Life just kind of got in the way, but I'll be handling the business side of that stuff very soon. But you can support us there, patreon.com/ForceCenter. You can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to KenNapsok.com for information on all the things I'm doing, including my new music show, Pop Rocket Radio, over on Mixcloud. Joseph and I always like to highlight things to help support. There's a lot going on in the world right now. You could pick one of 12 places to of trouble, and that's a small number, and we get it, we acknowledge it. So I don't have anything specific right now other than look out and find something that your heart is calling you to look into and support. And sometimes in a world that can seem overwhelming and seem collapsing around you, no matter where you stand on a lot of things, it can get overwhelming. Don't forget, a small step by you it goes a long way, and that step is your step. So find something close to your heart and plug in.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely wonderful advice. For myself, you can find me on all the social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And all my other comedy adventures are on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. If you want to check out my other podcast, Obsessed, my wife and I just did a whole episode about our journey into the big trees. And that was a lot of fun. And not surprisingly, some Star Wars thoughts came up there, too. So if you want to check that out, there's a link to Obsessed on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. And the thing that I would like to continue to plug is the governor recall vote in California. This is a big deal that has a lot of potential implications. And I think it's just really great that everybody in California be aware of it and be aware of their power to vote and use it. The actual vote is September 14th. But you can mail in your ballot, or I believe a lot of early voting sites are open. So as always, whenever a vote comes up, I encourage people to use their power.
Hey, and we've been studying in the Clone Wars. Votes are pretty important to the grand story. So I'll go on.
Yes, they are.
Well said, Joseph. Thank you all for listening today. Thank you all for being patient with our travel. I keep mentioning it because sometimes, you know, when you're working so hard and Joseph and I work so hard, sometimes you feel like we're letting people down if we're not there the hour that we normally are, or we're not covering all the news the moment it breaks. We appreciate you guys just being here on this journey with us. It truly makes the Force Center community what it is. So for Joseph, for Finn, for the Force, and for all the sixth graders calming down and listening to their teachers, we'll see you next time here on
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.